There's a serious lack of racial diversity in the biotechnology industry. That's according to a new paper in the journal Nature Biotech that looks at causes and possible solutions. Brady Huggett is a business editor at Nature Biotech. He's written about different facets of the biotech industry. Brady, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the details of your piece, Brady, I think a lot of us might have a vague notion of what we mean by biotechnology industry, but what do we mean by that?
Right. So this is the group of companies that are trying to take science, breakthrough science, and develop them into some sort of product. Often that means drugs, right? They're fighting cancer, they're fighting Alzheimer's, but there is also some applications towards agrotechnology or industrial biotech as well.
And when people think of the technology field, we might think of Silicon Valley and computer stuff like that. Biotech is a big business though, right?
Huge business, yep. And there's two really large hubs of this in the country. One is in the Boston-Cambridge area, and the other is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
So your piece, you spent a lot of time looking at the demographics, the racial makeup, and to some extent gender makeup of the biotech fields. What are we seeing there?
Right. So this is, I think that this is one of biotech's open secrets. Everybody who works in the industry sort of understands that it skews white and male. And that has been since the beginning. The industry really, really started in the late 1980s. And so we want to take a look at if we could find some way to sort of get a better understanding of just how white and male it is. And we put out a survey to try to start bringing in some of the information.
And then what did you find out in that survey?
Well, I mean, we try to compare the makeup of the industry to the overall demographic population of the U.S. And we found sort of what we knew in some areas. We knew that the industry was sort of white. It did show up that way. The U.S. population is about 60% white, people who claim by the U.S. Census that they're white alone. That's the way the industry looks around the overall workforce. But at the higher levels, which is management and the board of directors, whites are overrepresented versus their population in the U.S. And the same holds true for Asians, actually. Asians are overrepresented in biotech, meaning there's a higher percentage of Asians working in the biotech field at all levels, management, board of directors, and the workforce, than there are in the U.S. population. But we also found that for African-Americans, Latinos, they are vastly underrepresented in the industry.
Before we get into the causes, I think we'll spend most of our time on that, Brady, but when stories like this come out about any field, I think a common reaction is, well, so what? If they're delivering good medications, in this case, they're having breakthroughs or getting good products, why should I worry about a lack of diversity?
That's a great question, right? There's been plenty of research lately that show that diversity helps drive innovation, okay? That means if you have a problem, a really difficult problem that you're trying to solve, and you and I tackle it, and we have the exact same background and the exact same information and the exact same education, our chances of solving it are not going to be as high as if you, me, and three or four other people whose backgrounds are completely different from mine and yours help us tackle it, right? So the concept is that diversity drives innovation. And this industry, which is trying really hard to solve difficult problems, I mean, we've been trying to solve cancer since the invention of medicine and failing at it, you need a diverse mindset to help do that. And so it isn't, there's two things. It can be a social justice thing where you feel like, okay, we need to have access for jobs for all people in this country. Some people be on board with that, some might not. But if you're looking to actually solve the problem from a business sense or for a health sense, yeah, diversity is the way to go.
We're talking to Brady Huggett. He's with Nature Biotech, and he has a piece out on a lack of diversity in the biotechnology field. And Brady, let's start to get into causes now. The word pipeline comes up a lot when we're talking about Silicon Valley. You talk about it in this piece on biotechnology, too. Where are the places where we don't have the pipeline of people getting into these fields and staying in these fields?
Right. So the pipeline for the biotech industry is often the list, the long group of biomedical researchers that you find in academic centers all around the country. These are people who are working at universities on, just about anything that applies to health. And that pipeline is also not racially diverse. There's more whites and Asians in there than there are blacks, African-Americans, Latinos, and, Native Americans, et cetera. So that's a bit of the problem, because you need that education if you're going to move towards this field. So that's one problem, right, is that the pipeline isn't as thick as you'd like it to be. So the question begins to be, okay, well, what can you do about that? Why is that pipeline so thin? And there are a few reasons. One is role models, mentors, right? If you grow up with a physician father and a researcher for a mother, that you might think that that's going to be your career. And some communities do not have those role models, so it's hard for children to think that might be a career that they're going to follow. Same goes for mentors. There's also something that I found was really interesting when I was researching this piece. There's a book out there called Stereotype Threat. I was talking to this man about this issue, and he said, you should give this book a read. It's by a man called Claude Steele. He's a social psychologist. And it sort of breaks down the idea that when you are placed, this happens to anyone, race, gender, across the board, when you are placed in a situation in which you might be negatively stereotyped, you'll perform down to that stereotype. And he used this to apply to the stereotype that underrepresented minorities will not do well in the sciences. And then you place these people in a situation like higher education, which is predominantly white, and they will then perform down to that stereotype level. So it thins the pipeline in that way, too.
You talk to a handful of people, or a lot of people in the course of this, but a lot of anecdotes kept coming back to the same thing. A person saying, I realized I was the only Black person, Native American person, only woman, whatever, in the room. And that might have been a classroom or a lecture hall or a boardroom. This happens again where that one person of color might be the only person of color there.
That's exactly right. That's the concept of stereotype threat, where you walk into a room and say, I'm the only one of myself who looks here. Do I really belong here? Are people going to listen to me here? And yeah, that's it. That's exactly right.
And it's, on the one hand, you mentioned the role model thing where if you're, say, a young Black person, you don't see those role models, you might think, is this the right job for me? But then from the other end, if there aren't those role models in a largely, say, a room filled with white males, they might look at you and say, you don't fit in here, whether they're thinking that consciously or not. There's that you don't look like a biotechnology researcher.
That is also exactly right. That's the aspect of unconscious bias, which certainly plays a part here. You know, people have in their mind what they think a researcher should look like. You should probably be a male, you should probably be white, and you should probably have come from Harvard. That means you're going to be very smart and prepared for this. And, we need to start breaking down that unconscious bias to realize that a good biotechnologist can come from all sorts of places and look all sorts of ways.
It seems like a solution is really hard here because the problem is every step along the way. For one that we haven't even gotten into, Latinos and Black people are more likely to be from less economically advantaged backgrounds. They might not be able to afford the education. And then every step along the way, it's more of a colander than a pipeline keeping people out. How do you start to solve a problem that is at every step in the process?
Yeah, so that's also very difficult. If this were easy, we would have fixed it long ago. But you're right. So one of the things we tried to do with this article was to see if we could get the industry to better track itself. Right, because if you do not understand what the industry looks like, you can't mark progress. And so that's what the survey was about, was beginning to look like, okay, now we think the industry sort of looks like this. Now we could do that again and again, year after year, and make the survey more comprehensive so that you really understand the way the industry looks and you can begin to see if we're progressing the right ways or not. But the other way was might be to have companies to begin to self-report. And, you know, this happens in the tech industry. Google was heavily under fire for not being diverse, and they began to release their demographics of their company. And it showed what people thought, which is they're heavily white and Asian. No one in the biotech industry does that yet. And I think that would be one way that it could begin to sort of crack open the safe a little, is if the industry started to self-report on what it looks like. That's one solution. The other thing is, when hiring, we need to get beyond our networks. People tend to have networks that look a lot like them. Whites often have white networks. Asians often have Asian networks. And when you're looking to hire, sometimes you just reach out into those networks and say, look, I'm looking to hire. I need someone with this background and this experience. But if you want to hire and add diversity, you need to get out of your own white network. That's another solution.
And you profiled in your piece a few people of color who bucked the trend, who got through those many steps and made it and were successful in the industry. Can you tell us what you learned from them?
Well, I think some of the things that we've already talked about, that it's hard. I mean, it's hard to earn a PhD on its own. The studying, the diligence, the intelligence that needs to be brought to task, it's twice as hard when you're the only one in your group of a certain color or background. It sort of doubles the workload that these people need to do. So, Ted Love was one of the people I talked to for this article. Talking to him, he came from a farm and made his way all the way to the top of this industry. He's a brilliant scientist and a great CEO. And I thought, man, the effort that he had to put in would be twice what I would have to do to put it in myself. And yeah, I mean, it just makes it very difficult to do.
Do you get the sense, having done this research now, having put your results out, that, okay, maybe we're not solving the problem, but that the biotechnology industry is starting to see that there is a problem?
Yeah, I think the industry knows that there's a problem, but it needs to begin to have that dialogue at a higher level. It needs to start having more discussions openly about what can be done to fix it. How can unconscious bias be overcome? How are networks changed? And I am hopeful that, that we'll do the survey again and we'll have more companies participate. I did talk to a few companies. Vertex was one of them, and they're mentioned in the article. And they seemed ahead of the curve as far as it goes with dealing with this problem. They did one thing which I'd like to mention. I thought it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. So they're based in Boston, and they are not profitable. Many biotechs, of course, are not profitable, but this company is. They've been around a long time, and they have a cystic fibrosis drug that's doing quite well. And they wanted to give back. And they thought the way they should do it is that they would build inside their company a learning lab, okay? And they built a 3,000-square-foot learning lab inside their company, and then they have Boston Public School kids come through year-round. And they hired a woman to stay in that lab and run it year-round and teach kids what science is. And she's a black woman. Like, every step along the way, it's the perfect thing. So these kids are coming in. They now understand what a pipette is. They put their lab coat on. They put their goggles on. They understand what biotechnology is. And they look up and say, here's a person teaching me. It's a woman, and it's a person of color. Now, this is a career that I might have. This is a career that I could chase because she's done it. And I think that's kind of key, you know, the idea that the kids understand the possibilities when they're young.
It's a good place to leave it. Brady, thanks a lot for joining us.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Brady Huggett joined us to talk about his research on the lack of diversity, racial diversity in the biotechnology industry. He's a business editor at Nature Biotech.